Well, thanks for joining me. Let's pray, pray, pray. Yeah, I'm in a good mood today. You know, I was sharing with you, if you're just joining me for the chaplet today, some news that came across my radar before I came into the program today. I got a call from the World Apostle of Fatima. They're going to be joining me a little bit later. Pope Francis, he has decided to do something that I think is going to change the course of this global conflict that we're seeing. He's going to consecrate Russia and the Ukraine to the Immaculate Heart of Mary. He's going to do it on March the 25th. And in about an hour, we're going to pray now. The World Apostle of Fatima will be joining me. You know, there's been a lot of controversy over consecration. Was it done? You know, was it accepted by heaven? You know, did John Paul do it right? Other popes did it. It wasn't accepted. Why is Russia acting like this if it's been consecrated? I mean, there's so many questions. John Paul did it. Sister Lucia said it wasn't done exactly the way Our Lady wanted, but it was accepted by heaven. However, we have to respond to grace. A little bit later, we'll talk about what kind of impact this is going to have. I was concerned about Russia. There are prophecies from Blesseds and others talking about Russia spreading her errors. I think this consecration is going to change things in a profound way. You know, there's the threat of NATO and a world war. I mean, things could get out of control. I don't think Vladimir Putin's going to stop until he rebuilds his empire. However, I think in 10 days, when this consecration is done on the Feast of the Annunciation, same day John Paul II did it, a torrent of graces are going to flow, and I think things are going to change for the better. Let's pray for Vladimir Putin's conversion. Let's pray for those who are suffering in Ukraine. Let's pray for our world leaders. Let's pray for all who need God's conversion, including me and you, right? And let's pray for that healing you're seeking and that answer to prayer that you're calling out to God for. Brian Gibson had joined me in my first hour today. He's from the Pro-Life Action Ministries in Minnesota, and I had a conversation. He asked me to pray for his, for two people, his niece, which is, as I shared with you before, my producer's daughter, Regina, and she's in a tough battle right now. I mean, cancer is a difficult thing. Family's going through a very difficult moment, as you could imagine. She's only, I think, 30, 32 years old. So if you could pray for the family, that would be appreciated. I've been coming to you every day with this intention. And then Tom also told me that his mother-in-law, her name's Jean, his wife's mom, and Brian, ended up, she's got COVID. So we'll pray for those with COVID, those with cancer. Let's pray for those who are really facing difficult times. I mean, you might be fine today. You know, it's so strange how life changes. You're good today. You wake up tomorrow and your world can be radically, radically different. Maybe today's that day. You woke up and you said, oh my gosh, if I can only go back a day. I'm going to be praying today with Maggie. She is my my producer here. She's also on our board. And Maggie, it's good to have you with us. Good afternoon.
Hey, Drew. Hey, so we've gotten a lot of emails and tweets lately of Thanksgiving, prayers of Thanksgiving. Can I share one with you?
Please. I love them. You know that.
Sure. That's okay. Great. So this one came in this morning from Mary in the Bay Area of California. She says, this is a praise report about my friend from a few years ago. My friend received an unexplained healing of his nearly blind eye.
Oh my God.
Due to the rare and pretty much incurable Nyon eye disease.
Wow.
Which reduces blood flow to the eye. She says, I was parked in my car outside of his doctor's office listening to Drew praying divine mercy. It was a pledge drive week. I called, made a pledge, received the miraculous metal keychain. I've never lost my keys since. And my friend received a complete healing of his eyesight within 6 months. The doctor was amazed, pushed his chair away from the computer screen, and said he'd never seen anything like this. The circulation of the eye went from gray, which was like the dying color on the imaging, to pink, which was blood flowing. What have you been doing, he asked. Praying, starting with Divine Mercy, then the Rosary, and Relevant Radio's Prayer Warriors, along with several local prayer groups.
Praise God. I just love, love, love those stories. You got to send that over to me too, Maggie,
yeah,
because I've got a friend whose son lost his sight completely.
Mm.
And these people are so faithful. I mean, they inspire me. You know, I'm a man of great faith. I really believe. I really trust. I've seen incredible things. But these people, I mean, they have gone through hell, literally,
yeah.
And they're so faithful, and they're still praying for the miracle for their son. And the mother said to me one time, I believe one day he will see. And I'm with her. I mean, faith and prayer changes things. God, so I, you know, St. Faustina one time prayed for, it was her sister who was kind of away, and she prayed and fasted and did so much penance that she felt she almost compelled God's hand to answer her prayer. And God wants to answer us in a big time way. So
yeah.
Let's pray right now for that intention. I'll share some more answered prayers a little bit later or tomorrow as well. But one intention just came into the email today. Could you please pray for my sister? This person writes, Lisa is her name. She has lung cancer and receiving chemo treatments. The chemo is taking her toll on her liver and she needs to heal, not fail, so she can continue treatment. Thank you so much for your consideration. Signed, Jackie. Jackie, we're going to pray for you now. We're going to pray for everyone who is uniting with us wherever they may be. We're all one family, and we'll begin as we do every day, signing ourselves in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
You expire, Jesus, but the source of life gushed forth for souls, and the ocean of mercy opened up for the whole world. O font of life, unfathomable divine mercy, envelop the whole world and empty yourself out upon us. O blood and water which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
O blood and water which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
O blood and water which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
And I believe in God, the Father Almighty, the Creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit and was born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From there, he will come to judge the living and the dead.
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen.
Amen. All right, we'll take our first call today from Dawn. She's listening in Fairfax, Virginia. Dawn, thanks for praying with us. Good afternoon.
Hi, Drew. Thanks so much for taking my call.
You're welcome.
I have to first tell you, thank you so much for your ministry. You have changed my life over the last couple of years. I hear you in my head over and over saying that you refuse to worry, that we wound the Lord with our mistrust, and that God is the great physician.
Amen.
And I just want to thank you.
Well,
and right before I heard you reiterate those words, I was distraught because my mom is suffering. She's been suffering since a child with chronic bronchitis, but she's had some neurological issues that caused her to fall, and her last fall was very serious, and she was knocked unconscious, ended up in, you know, ambulance stitches, and it was a miracle that our Catholic priest arrived right in time to give her an anointing, and she was discharged that day, which was a miracle in and of itself. But she's had imbalance and lots of other issues and is struggling with depression. And I think the devil is working to not inspire her to pray. And she's such a good Catholic woman. And she just says to me, please just love me, you know.
Wow.
And I want to also pray for my dad because I know he's just such a wonderful husband and father and just takes such good care of her and loves her so much. So those are my prayers, but also for my aunt who has cancer, who doesn't believe in God, and for all non-believers, that they may be converted to know Jesus' love.
Yeah. Well, Dawn, I can tell you are a person with a big heart, and you love deeply. And I can only imagine how much more God loves those that you love. And for your mom, you know, when you go through a difficult time, and I've been there where it's hard to pray, you know, sometimes you're in the valley, sometimes you are suffering in ways that are really unimaginable, and that's where we come in. You know, let's pray on her behalf. Let's ask for the grace that she needs in particular. And I want to pray for you. I want to pray for all those issues that you just put forward, that God will continue to work miracles in your life. I'm so grateful for the miracles you shared, the answered prayers that come in. Make sure you write that email to me too and share that answered prayer with me. I love receiving them and keeping them here before me. But Lord, I pray for her mother. I pray for all those with brain issues. I pray for Dawn's aunt. Lord, you know all the intentions here. You heard them all. And today I'm going to ask for miracles, Heavenly Father, through the passion and death of your Son. Again, I just ask for your greater glory, that this may be a testament to the power of your mercy. And I just trust these intentions to you. St. Faustina wrote in her diary, he said, have great confidence because God is always our Father, even when he sends us trials. So if you're going through a difficult time, God's with you. He loves you. He's your Father. Don't doubt him, all right? Trust him. And I guarantee you, you will get through this situation. He will bring good out of whatever you're going through right now. Eternal Father, we offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right. James is praying in Chicago. Hey, James, good afternoon.
Hi, Drew. How are you doing?
I'm okay.
God bless you. Thank you for praying for these intentions. I'm just going to make it really quick.
Sure.
Basically, this I have a test coming. It's for learning to drive a truck, and basically, it hinges on everything that is going to propel me and my relationship with my family and everything. Mm-hmm. And I really need to pass. So, just with prayers, it'd be great. Thank you.
Well, you got it. We need you, James. We need truck drivers, that's for sure. I'm glad. Let's pray you pass this test. I've shared stories before of people who really have just miraculously passed tests. Some amazing stories. And camp out on what Padre Pio said. You pray, you hope, you don't worry, right? Because worry is useless. God is merciful. He hears your prayers. That's our best weapon. It's the key to God's heart. And that's what we're going to pray for now. Lord, I just pray for anyone who's facing litigation, anyone who is facing an upcoming test or needing to be credentialed or passing immigration or whatever it may be, whatever the challenge that faces them. Right now, Lord, I just ask that you send the Spirit, that their minds be illuminated. You give them instant recall, that you give them the dexterity they need in case of James and his driving. And I just ask, Lord, your presence be felt, that peace be present, and that your mercy prevail. And we pray, Eternal Father, we offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right. Before we get to our third call, let me bring Maggie in. And again, if you want to send your petitions in, if you can't get through on the phones, you can go to @DrewMarianiShow. That's our Twitter account. You can email us, drew@relevantradio.com. And Maggie shares them. Send us your answer prayers, too. I really want to ask you to do that. It's drew@relevantradio.com. And the memo line, just say answered prayer and tell me your story. A couple sentences, a couple paragraphs, whatever you feel led to do. Maggie, what's coming in?
So we got another email earlier from Cesar in California. He says, a prayer of gratitude, Drew. Unfortunately, My wife had started an affair a few years ago, and there was a child that was conceived from the affair in 2016.
Wow.
That's when I became aware of the situation.
Wow.
My wife had many relapses after that day of disclosure. In 2019, I was able to get through on your show to ask for prayers from the Divine Mercy Chaplet. I want to thank everyone for their prayers because it's been 3 years since her last relapse. We're consistently praying together, going to church and getting the Eucharist and working on our marriage. Thank you all at Relevant Radio for your prayers. I just thought that was powerful.
Gosh, Maggie, that just brings me to tears. I mean, I just, first of all, I love this guy, Salazar.
How
faithful. He understands the beauty of his marriage.
I know.
And yeah, I mean, people suffer from addiction, from gambling. From things.
Sure.
Infidelity is another thing. That's really a hard one to get over, but he constantly forgave and helped her and he called the chaplain. And again, I mean, God can heal anything, especially marriages. I'm convinced that that's something that I think he wants to allow his grace to flow into and heal. So let's continue to pray for that relationship and all relationships. What else do you have?
John wrote to us. I thought this one was unique. John creates Lego structures like for public displays.
Oh, cool.
He says, praying for this season's Lego build. The pandemic has wreaked havoc on my public displays, and I have a deep desire to share my current project in person, praying for wisdom and for locations who would like to have me come out.
That's so cool.
Isn't that cool?
Yeah.
Someone with the handle Desert Moon had, a great prayer request. Please pray for unity rather than division in and outside of the church. And then Millie was praying for her son Kyle's conversion.
Oh, all right, well, let's lift up all those intentions. We'll get Devin in here, too. He's praying with us in Providence, Rhode Island. Hi, Devin.
Hi, Drew. I just want to ask you to please pray for my one-year-old daughter, Philomena. She was recently diagnosed with cancer. She's going through chemotherapy, so...
Oh, you poor man.
Please lift her up in prayer.
I promise you my personal prayers, Devin, and I know our family here is praying for you and for your family. What was your daughter's name?
Philomena.
Philomena, wow. Let's turn to her. I'm going to talk about her later. She's such a powerhouse saint, which I'm sure you know. If you're not familiar, I will certainly share that story. But let's pray now for the healing of cancer. We started talking about Padre Pio rejecting it. We've heard testimonies of cancer that has been vanquished. You know, one of my favorite quotes from St. Faustina, she says that Jesus, you know, she says that he says that people just don't know the scope of his divine mercy. And therefore, we don't pray for big enough things. I mean, cancer seems bigger than us, right? It's not curable. What happens when we're diagnosed with it? Heavenly Father, and St. Faustina, I call upon your intercession. We don't know the scope of God's divine mercy. It's unfathomable. All eternity will contemplate it, never comprehend it. But I pray right now for this little baby, that she again be a divine mercy miracle. We call upon the communion of saints, especially the great St. Philomena, that miracle worker. We ask you to intercede before the throne of God for this beautiful father, Devin, for his family, and for his daughter. Eternal Father, we offer you, and for all who are battling cancer and joining us in this intention, Eternal Father, we offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right, Margaret, praying with us in Illinois. Good afternoon.
Hi, Drew. Thank you so much for taking my call and for all you do. I want to pray for a missing woman, Elise Mulroy, that they can find her and that she's healthy and good and everything's okay. And I'd also like to pray for Dima, a friend of ours who is gone He's in Poland and trying to help his family get out of the Ukraine.
Well,
so thank you, and
you got it.
For everybody else's prayer, and for especially for the people that don't have anyone to pray for. Well, thanks,
Margaret,
so much.
Thank you for the beautiful intention. Yeah, thank you so much. We'll pray for that. And again, for some reason, and I don't know why, when we prayed this chaplet, the missing are found. They're returned. They're liberated. They're freed. And Lord, I don't know the situation of this missing person right now, but I do pray that as a result of these prayers, Margaret can call back and give us an answer to prayer. We do pray for those in conflict now, those in dangerous places like Ukraine. But I just give to you every soul who's now united with me in prayer. We trust in your mercy, and I give you their health and their finances and their relationships and all the intentions that are so heavy in their heart. Please hear them. Please answer us as we pray. Eternal Father, we offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ,
in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right, let's go to Los Angeles next. Monica's praying with us there on the West Coast. Hi, Monica. Good afternoon.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I just wanted to say Thanksgiving for all priests and for the sacraments and for our religious freedom, and also for a special priest, Father Orion, who has this bad taste in his mouth ever since having some medication. And we pray that the taste goes away for him. And we pray for him also because he's actually walking my husband, who is Jewish, through RCIA.
Oh, wow.
And so we pray for that to continue and hopefully for his baptism this Easter.
Well, that's great. Congratulations. That's such a blessing. Well, let's pray right now. First of all, Monica, thank you for calling in with that beautiful intention. I do want to pray for all priests. I want to pray for those priests having crises, too, in their vocations. You know, Satan has a special enmity for them. I want to pray for those discerning the priesthood as well. I want to give you every one of Monica's intentions. We want to pray for her husband, become a vibrant Catholic, that the sacraments fill him, and that their own union grows even stronger. And Monica, I'm going to take those intentions you voiced. I'm going to add them also to Susan, who's listening in Aurora, Illinois, and add her to our final decade here. Hi, Susan. Good afternoon.
Thanks, Drew. I want to pray for my brother Aaron's brain surgery on Thursday, that it will be successful, and that Jesus will heal and cure my brother of his brain cancer.
All right. Well, let's pray for that
and
today.
Thank you for this ministry.
Thank you. I appreciate those words. Big day for cancer. It seems to be the intention. I talked about Padre Pio and his battle. Let me sneak one last call in here, then we'll wrap up our chaplet. Barbara in Santa Clara, good afternoon.
Thank you, Drew. Would like to pray for my sister, Linda, who was diagnosed with blood cancer.
Wow.
And my best friend, Kathy, who was diagnosed recently with breast cancer. And my good friend, Sean, who was in a bad car accident and fractured her skull in three places. She has regained consciousness, but is still on a ventilator and not able to speak.
All right. Well, let's bring this forward. I can't believe how many cancer intentions we have today. Heavenly Father, I ask for these miracles. I ask you, Jesus, O divine physician, to embrace those souls who are battling cancer now, those loved ones. Give them peace, give them healing. If it's through natural means such as chemo or radiation or immunotherapy or some other treatment, I ask that also take hold and that you illuminate the minds of the physicians who are taking care of these individuals. But I pray for miracles for those in recovery, those in critical care. And I pray for the finances and health and relationships and addictions and all the other issues that challenge so many, Lord. And I just ask that today be a day of abundant miracles as we pray. Eternal Father, we offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Eternal God, in whom mercy is endless and the treasury of compassion inexhaustible, please look kindly upon us and increase your mercy in us. So that in difficult moments, we may not despair nor become despondent, but with great confidence, submit ourselves to your holy will, which is love and mercy itself. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Our Lady Queen of Heaven.
Pray for us.
Our Lady of Good Help.
Pray for us.
Mother of Mercy.
Pray for us.
Our Lady of Guadalupe.
Pray for us.
Virgin most powerful.
Pray for us.
Saint Joseph.
Pray for us.
Saint Faustina.
Pray for us.
Saint John Paul II.
Pray for us.
Saint Peregrine.
Pray for us.
Saint Jose Maria Escriva.
Pray for us.
Saint Patrick.
Pray for us.
Blessed Michael Sopochko.
Pray for us.
All you Fatima children.
Pray for us.
All you angels and saints.
Pray for us.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Stay with me when we come back. I want to explore something. I don't know whether it's fact, fiction, conspiracy, or reality. The Great Reset. If you don't know what it is, I'll break it all down for you. Plus, the top of the next hour in about 30 minutes, huge news that will affect the world. I believe unbelievable graces are going to flow. Pope Francis will consecrate Russia and the Ukraine to the Immaculate Heart. The World Apostle of Fatima will join me. Stay tuned for that and more.
Tweet us your prayer intention anytime on Twitter at Drew Mariani Show.
Catholic Order of Foresters is proud to sponsor the relevant radio studio line. For information about employment opportunities and flexible premium life insurance plans, visit relevantradio.com/Forester.
What is the Great Reset actually proposing to do? Do these ideas have any merit? Who are the players involved in pushing this agenda? And is this actually a nefarious scheme or just the victim of terrible marketing? Now, perhaps one of the largest concerns shared amongst rational onlookers to this Great Reset proposal is the distinct lack of support from economists. Time magazine has created a page to help explain the idea, and it's broken the proposal down into featurettes from its key supporters. These are models, cellists, Reddit co-founders, ex-royals. But outside of Klaus Schwab, the chairman of the World Economic Forum, there are no economists. For what it's worth, Klaus Schwab is actually an engineer by education, but he is brilliant in his own right, so that one's fair enough.
The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
So what is the Great Reset? You've probably been hearing a lot about it recently. You know, it's been labeled a conspiracy theory by some just months ago. Now it's surfacing from the World Economic Forum. As an actuality, I thought we'd break it down for you, put you in the know, let you know what this is all about. I was thinking about this today as I was making my way into the program. Over the last few years, I've heard a lot about the Great Reset. I never really dove into it too much. The idea is just an attempt to change the world's economic structure to somehow benefit the so-called 99% who aren't making a ton of money. And some people have dismissed it as it's a hoax. Come on, that's a conspiracy theory. Who's really doing that? And there are some conspiracy theories surrounding it. I want to be fair about that. But it is a very real idea. And it is being carried out by by the elites of the world. In fact, it originates, you heard in that sound clip there, from a guy named Klaus Schwab. He was the founder and executive chairman of the World Economic Forum. You may not recognize the name of the World Economic Forum, or the WEF, but you will probably recognize the name of Davos, Switzerland, right? Yeah, that rings a bell, doesn't it? That's the resort where the world's richest people and leaders from the first world, they get together every January. They discuss the world's problems. The WEF is the group that organizes the event. It was Klaus Schwab who came up with this whole idea of a great reset. And you know, I want to be open to it. How does that work? What would it look like? Who would it benefit? The thought is that he could completely change the way that business is done, right? Most businesses are run on the idea that they owe their allegiance to the shareholders who support the companies. That they are, after all, they're the ones paying the bills, right? But Schwab came up with the idea that businesses owe allegiance to more than the shareholders. They owe allegiance to stakeholders. Those are the people who have a stake in how the business is run, and even if they don't own the business. So if you have a factory, you're like, I don't get that. What's the difference? Here, I'll give you a very simple example that I saw. Let's say a factory making widgets, glue, for instance, right? The stakeholders might be people who live in the neighborhood who are going to be impacted by the air or the water pollution that that factory produces. And that's just one example, right? But the Great Reset goes beyond that. In fact, it sounds a lot like a form of socialism. So let's talk about it. Let's break it down. I've invited Michael Rechtenwald, who is a professor of liberal studies and global liberal studies at New York University. And, well, he was, I guess I should say, a professor there from 08 to 2019 until he got canceled for speaking out against woke ideology. He was one of the victims of this cancel culture, especially anyone who did not agree with being woke. He also then taught at Duke in North Carolina, or North Carolina Central University, Carnegie Mellon, and Case Western Reserve. And he joins us today just to help us understand what the Great Reset is and whether or not you'll see it in your lifetime. Hey, thank you, Professor, for your time. It's great to have you with us.
Hi, Drew. It's great to be here.
So, you know, this is something I heard, I saw a lot about, as I said in my beginning. I never really fully delved into it. I wasn't sure whether it was a conspiracy or whether it's just a new, you know, economic model. Give me your take. I mean, is it bad marketing? I mean, why does this thing kind of have a dark shadow around it? What is the Great Reset, in your words? And why does it get portrayed the way it gets portrayed by the mainstream media?
Okay, well, first of all, the Great Reset is a definite program and plan that is being rolled out. And the origin source is the WEF, the World Economic Forum, and Klaus Schwab. And it has several components to it. The first is to set the economy to a so-called fairer economy, to produce fair outcomes. So it's very important to realize they want to produce outcomes, not just opportunities. And that's very important to what they're after. The second thing they're trying to do is advance what they call shared goals. And these shared goals are equality and sustainability. So it's very big on their agenda to address what they consider to be the catastrophe, the looming catastrophe of climate change. And the third thing they want to do is usher in what they call the fourth industrial revolution, which they want to usher it in. They think it's already underway. And this is basically the digitization of everything, including all natural resources, but also people. So those are the three main heads under which this is being addressed and being rolled out. Now, when I say rolled out, the WEF has signed an agreement with the United Nations to bring about their 2030 agenda. They have also enlisted thousands of corporations who are on board with this. Wow. So this is something, you know, I can talk about why it's been construed as a conspiracy theory, yeah. That it's construed as a conspiracy by so-called conspiracy theorists, but that's the basic plan.
All right, let's do that. One is it, why is it construed as a conspiracy, and how likely is it that one day we may see either the reset take place or some reincarnation of it?
Well, I think it's been construed as a conspiracy because there's a couple factors. First of all, very shortly before the coronavirus hit, the World Economic Forum and Johns Hopkins University and the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation ran a simulation of a pandemic that just so happened to, you know, predict every eventuality that came out of the Great Reset, including lockdowns, masking, social distancing, censorship on the internet, availability of so-called what they're calling authoritative sources, and flooding media and social media with that, and also including the riots that we saw in 2020, that mass unemployment, et cetera, et cetera. So people have looked at this and said, how is it possible this group has been so predictive of the events that actually took place later? And then Klaus Schwab wrote a book called COVID-19, The Great Reset, which came out in July of 2020, very soon after the pandemic had been declared, you know, only a couple of months. So this book is pretty lengthy. So people speculated, how did he have this book ready so quickly?
Wow. That's fascinating. And you look at some of the names that surround it, guys like Schwab, Bill Gates, Mark Zuckerberg. It does make people wonder. I'll tell you what, stay with me. I'm going to take a short pause, Michael. When we come back, let's talk more. I want to open the phones too. If you have a question about the Great Reset, if you're familiar with it, if you want to add your own insights, feel free to join us. The number here is 888-914-9149. I only have my guest today, Professor Reckonwald, only for probably another 10 minutes or so. So if you want to get in, good time to do that. 888-914-9149. Exploring the Great Reset. This hour, sponsored by Solidarity HealthShare. Prices start at $384 a month for families. Check now. See how much you can save. Go to CatholicHealthShare.com.
Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
Hey, is the Great Reset a conspiracy theory? Some say it's the result of a vast left-wing plot to establish a totalitarian one-world government. I don't think so. The fact a lot of people have spun conspiracy theories based on it, and with some reason, it has a lot of people wondering. But my guest today says the Great Reset is real. I'm joined this afternoon by none other than Professor Michael Reckonwald, and it's good to have him here with me this afternoon. If you want to join us, you can dial in 888-914-9149. And again, Professor Reckonwald is a chief academic officer for American Scholars, and it's good to have him back. Let's jump right into the phones, Michael, if we could. Austin is listening in Texas, down in Austin. Austin from Austin. Hey, good afternoon.
Hey, thanks for having me on.
We're delighted. Go right ahead.
Yeah, it's just getting to be a point where, you know, when are the conspiracy theories going to be conspiracy facts, and when should we start being concerned that this is a liberty issue, and how much control can one get when they control everything from digital currency to all the digital data? And so, you know, that's, I guess, the big question is this bad for the future?
Yeah, I think it's a great point you brought up, Austin, and it's a great question. When does conspiracy become fact? And my producer Maggie and I were talking about this professor before the program, and these people aren't even elected. So if you could address Austin's comments, I think they're very legitimate.
Yes, absolutely. I think these are some of the most central questions. The question of liberty is definitely on the docket here, because what they're talking about would, first of all, institute policies that are not coming from elected officials, that are coming from this organization and the UN and other you know, what they call, well, NGOs and other types of agencies. Right. And they admit that they're infiltrating the state governments across the world. So it wouldn't be a one world government as such, but they are trying to network all of the states together and to get them to institute these policies, which would, first of all, they're definitely against the free market. They make this very clear. They call it neoliberalism, which really is a meaningless word. It depends on who's using it. What they really refer to is free enterprise. And they have a definite problem with that because they think it creates unequal outcomes. But really, the kind of interventionism that they have in mind is what is creating uneven outcomes. The favoritism of the state for various, you know, players, this is really what creates these kind of outcomes, this kind of class war that they suggest is really underway. So they talk about it as a merger of socialism and capitalism.
Yeah.
And it is that. It's like a corporate oligarchy on the top and everybody else more or less in a static socialism, if you will, on the ground.
So this is a merger of socialism and capitalism. Who benefits? Who benefits from the Great Reset?
If you ask me, I think it's really the monopolies. Companies that are monopolistic, they want to get rid of competition. And we saw that happen in the United States and across the world with the way the governments responded to the COVID crisis, which wiped out millions of small businesses.
Yeah, it did.
So they're really trying to monopolize the economy, and it benefits monopolistic ambitions.
All right, so let's go to Al in Green Bay, Wisconsin. Hi, Al. Good afternoon.
Hi, Drew. The question I just got, my brother just called me up a little while ago, and I listened to Chaplin, and I forgot to keep it on with you guys. But when you talk about the Great Reset, you're talking about, I know years ago, you always talked about the Trilateral Commission, and so more or less one world government, or you're saying not one world government, or are you saying the whole economy in general will change, and say, such as climate change, everything.
Mm-hmm.
Is that what you're trying to say?
Yeah, Michael, you want to give clarity to that?
Yeah, I'll just that. It's not a one world government at the outset. It's for sure. It's networking states and governments across the world together, and it's instituting policies that are coming from the World Economic Forum and the UN. And what they're doing is circumventing democracy by instituting policies that aren't voted upon. They're using corporations and states to do this. So it's kind of a hybrid between corporate and state power. They're actually bringing corporations into the state in public-private partnerships, as they call them.
Wow. You know, my producer Maggie was doing some research for the program. She was sharing with me that she saw a video from the WEF that they put out, and they say, look, you'll own nothing and you'll be happy. That's kind of the message. Kind of creepy messaging, too. I mean, what happens to your possessions in something like this? Capitalism is one model. Socialism is a total, is another where you won't own anything. What happens to the standard? I mean, how do they take away what you've worked so hard for already?
Well, if you mean how do they justify it, or how do they actually bring it about?
How do they justify that? Because I don't know how people would be willing to go along with something like this.
They justify it using these very innocuous sounding and euphemistic terms like fairness, mm-hmm. equity, and so forth.
Yeah.
So they're using kind of woke ideology to justify it. And I think that's the function of why woke ideology is being taught all across the country from K through PhD.
Yep.
The idea is to make people feel rather guilty about their possessions, that they got them on the basis of privilege, that they're unearned, and likewise, they can be revoked. And once you turn rights into privileges, like property rights or individual mm-hmm. rights, then you can revoke them. So that's really what the framing is all about. That's how they are justifying it. They actually may believe that they're doing good. You know, they're not as if they're sitting around, you know, behind a table going, how can we take over the world? Actually meant this as very, very, as very, very good.
I'm assuming that's the case of Bill Gates, Mark Zuckerberg, some of the wealthiest people on the planet. They think that what they're doing is good.
Yes, absolutely. They think it's actually a good thing what they're doing.
That's
they're
good,
saving us from ourselves.
They're saving us from ourselves. Wow. Aaron in Seattle, Washington. Good afternoon.
Yeah. Hey, Drew. Big fan. Thank you for your time. Great topic. I'm just curious to hear your expert's opinion on the global corporatocracy as well as AI and transhumanism and how all this kind of feeds into the Great Reset as well as the financial aspect through the banks.
Another great question. Yeah. That's awesome. Yeah. Hey, thank you very much, Aaron. Yeah, AI, transhumanism, that's all we're seeing unfold.
Yeah, it's all involved. That's what they're calling the fourth industrial revolution. It is transhumanist technology and the merger of machine and human beings. They talk about actually having human beings having implants such that they can be on the internet at all times and with their brains rather than, you know, going on the web, you'll actually be in the internet as such. And then the question of the digitalization of everything, including digital IDs. They're very big on rolling out this digital ID where you'll have a digital ID and everything you do will be attached to it. And then there's the question of digital currency, a global or state-sanctioned distributed digital currency, CBDC. This is all on the table. It is some of the objectives they're trying to bring about. And I agree with this guest and the previous that this is very inimical to freedom.
Yes. Yeah, and let's talk about that, too, before we get to the freedom issue, which is key. I was just sitting here as I listened to Aaron in Seattle make the comment about AI. I mean, look, Facebook changed its name. It went to Meta. They want you to live in this alternative universe, if you will. So if the Great Reset takes place, everything does go digital, and you have the capability of being in the internet with your mind, you, in some respects, would be living in two worlds, shouldn't you? Couldn't you? I mean, that's kind of what I think they're hoping. Buy and sell there, live a whole other life there. I mean, what a bizarre reality.
Yes, you would be walking down the street, for example, and instead of seeing people as they really would appear otherwise, you'll see them as their avatars wish them to be. So maybe somebody likes to identify as a dog or whatever. Yeah. It just really throws anarchy into all of our social ontologies. That is, who are we as human beings? All of this gets thrown into complete chaos.
Yeah. So how is freedom compromised here? How do you see that happening? What are the steps that we'll see unfold before us?
Well, first of all, they're attacking the free market, which means the ability to, you know, produce and trade as you will with whoever you want in a league, you know, as long as you obey the rules, right? So they want to intervene in the economy and make governments dictate basically what you can purchase, things like oil and gas and so forth. They're using this ESG score to discipline corporations into buying into this. That's the way that it's an index on the stock market, which they're trying to universalize really to every company. They're also, you know, probably looking at an ESG score for the individual. How well do you obey sustainability measures? How well do you uphold social justice ideology? Are you in line with the social justice creed? All of this
Professor, I'll tell you, I got to hold you there because I have less than a minute. I want to get people in touch. If they want to learn more about this, there is an article that we're going to link over to. It was part of, a talk that you gave at Hillsdale College in November on the Great Reset. And you can do a quick search for Michael Rechtenwald and what is a Great Reset and check it out. We'll put it up on our Twitter. It's at Drew Mariani Show. Final thoughts, Professor. You only have about 20 seconds. If people want to get a hold of you, is that the best way to read your article or learn?
Yeah, you can go to my website, michaelrechtenwald.com. All the essays are there. And you can email me from there.
I'll be right back.